everyone, and welcome back to another edition of The White Flag, a podcast about slowing down, getting still, and learning how to embrace a posture of surrender with Jesus as you and I have to navigate this hurried, manic, control-obsessed world we live in. As you may know, my name is Jonathan Moynihan. I'm your host, and today we'll be continuing what's kind of been at the start of 2022, a monthly series of guided prayers and meditations, especially for those times when you're navigating high levels of emotion, or what my wife and I refer to as big emotions when we're talking to our three young children. But this episode is designed to be a resource for you to lean into prayer in those times of your life when an emotion isn't something you feel, but something that's driving the bus that is your life. So last month we did this. We together went through a guided prayer of what to pray when you are angry. And specifically, we talked about the times when you feel blocked from something, because at the core of anger oftentimes is the sense that you are being blocked from your deep want. And today we're going to go through a time together where we model what it means to pray, but specifically praying when you are in sadness. What does it look like? What are some of the words you can hold on to? What do we do when we know intellectually it's good to turn to Jesus when we feel sadness, and yet at the same time we have to navigate all those natural human reactions of wanting to wallow in isolation or just give in to entertainment or just cave to our impulses instead of bringing our full emotional state to God? So right now, if you're still listening, knowing this is what we're going to do, chances are you're someone who just loves the show, you're a fan, and you go episode by episode, and you love stepping into practices of courageous surrender, even if it stretches you. And if that's you, awesome. Love having you here. But there's also a chance that someone listening to this right now just stumbled upon this episode. Or maybe you bookmarked it weeks or months ago, and you're coming back to it because now is the time when you find yourself experiencing pain. Now is the time when you find yourself sad and navigating deep grief, and you're trying to figure out, where is God in this, and what is he up to, and how do I bring this to him? And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this and doing a series of episodes like this is because grief and sadness are what we'd consider negative emotions in our modern age. And we label them negative because of the circumstances that typically stir them up. You know, you wouldn't tell a child it's bad that you feel sad or it's bad that you feel grief. And yet we tend to moralize our emotions because of the circumstances that bring them to pass. But I think it's really important that we learn how to integrate these high emotional states within our spiritual disciplines, like Bible reading or engaging God in prayer or silence, because in our modern contexts, we so rarely see a healthy model of what it means to bring things like sadness and grief into our faith and allow them to be a tool by which God helps us become something new in Christ. That's really what I want to try to foster in this episode today. And if you attend Mosaic, where I'm a teaching minister here in Baltimore, Maryland, you'll be hearing me talk about this a little bit more in an upcoming message, so it's a little bit of a spoiler alert. But recently, I was kind of hit in the face with this reality because I was driving my wife and kids back from a play date with another family. And I don't really listen to Christian radio, but my wife does when she's driving the car sometimes. And I don't have anything against Christian radio, but to me, they're kind of all the same at this point. You know, like you know what I'm talking about. If you listen to Christian radio, they're all kind of the same. They're like, you know, welcome to Light FM 86.1, uplifting and encouraging, safe for the whole family. You know, you know what I mean? Like, it's all the same. So anyway, we're listening in the car. There's Christian radio going. I'm driving my wife and kids. And then the DJ for this radio station ends his segment before the commercial, and he says this. He says, "Hey, we're just here to encourage you and let you know that everything's going to be okay." And I'm driving the car, and I literally say out loud from the radio, in response to the radio, with my kids, who are 4, 2, and 6 months in the car, I turn to my wife after hearing this and go, "What a bunch of crap!" And she's like, "What was that?" And we proceeded to have a conversation. And the reason I had such a big emotional response to this hokey message from a Christian radio station is because a life of faith in Jesus is not a life of sunshine and rainbows. where everything is going to be okay here on earth. But so often the messaging we get from Christian subculture en masse is this idea that if you believe the right things and believe strong enough, good things will eventually come to you. I hate to break it to you, that's not the message of Jesus. It's not found in the letters of Paul. It's certainly not modeled in the early founders of the church. This mindset of just everything going to be okay and that a life of faith just means everything's going to be fine, it's like this corruption of what Christianity really is. It's more of like this modern therapeutic spirituality than it is the way of Jesus. And because this gets perpetuated by Christian messaging on radio or Instagram or movies or whatever, we tend to think that our darkest and deepest emotional days are the ones that we need to just get through so that we can be solid in our faith, instead of realizing it is in those days of darkness that God does some of his best work to heal us and help us and make us holy. And so it's from that conviction, with that story with the radio just being one illustration of the point, it's from this conviction that I want to push back against the oversimplified messaging of Christendom. And I want to create space for you to pray authentically when you are navigating deep grief and sadness, and you're in those long days of blue that leave you wondering if you'll ever get out. And I want to help you do that today. And so the foundation for our time is going to be from the maybe most famous psalm, Psalm 23. And I want to create some space for these words to resonate with you and create room for you to explore what's weighing you down and to bring to God that which makes you sad right now. And so our flow is going to be me giving you a couple minutes, or moments, sorry, to be quiet and get still and just calm your scattered senses. And then I'm going to read a poem that I think prepares our heart to take a breath. And then we're going to dive in to what brings you down, what's grieving you. I'm going to read Psalm 23 a few times with space between, where you can invite the Spirit of God in to encourage and comfort or just listen to him. And I want to just sort of set the table here with a famous line from Mother Teresa. There was an interview with her where she was asked the question, "Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you say?" And she said, "I listen." And when the interviewer did a follow-up and said, "Well, what does God say back?" Mother Teresa said in return, "I don't expect you to understand this, but he listens back." And that's such a beautiful example of what I want to accomplish for us today. I want to create space for you in your grief, in your sadness, to listen to God as he listens to you. And allow God's word in Psalm 23 to do what it does best, to comfort and encourage and sharpen. So right now, I'm going to take a few moments just to allow you to take a few deep breaths, to be still, and prepare for this time of prayer. I want to begin our time by reading you a short poem by Stanley Kunitz called The Knapsack. The tagline for the poem is, "How shall my heart be reconciled to its feast of losses?" And I would encourage you just to listen to this and allow it to get you in the right state of mind as you prepare to pray sadness to God. Here's The Knapsack by Stanley Kunitz. I am not good at grieving my losses and moving on. I carry them in a knapsack, hanging heavy on my chest. Doesn't everyone see me stoop beneath the weight? Don't you ever get to put it down? Someone asks. No, I reply. It is with me always, more present on most days than God himself. Grief gets added every day, or so it seems. Oh, it's okay, I say. It's just one more grief to tuck into my knapsack. I've learned how to walk with my heaviness around my neck. I know how to enter rooms, back straight, smile bright, as though nothing was hanging there. But today, I am tired. The weight of accumulated grief is more than I can carry. Where does one go to unpack grief? To take out each loss and hold it in your hand, to wonder where it goes and then put it in its place. I don't cry about my grief anymore, although there are always tears behind my eyes. The tears are stuck inside now, like stones in a graveyard. They have settled heavy into the landscape of my life. I've heard that depression is the refusal to mourn. I don't know how to mourn in a way that helps. I don't know how. God, if you would show me, I would do it. If you would take me to a place where I could truly mourn, I would walk in, I think. I would walk into that graveyard and lay myself down on the grave of each and every dead thing and let my tears fall into the earth. And then I would get up and walk out into my life. The poem is so fitting because it captures the state a lot of us live within. Wondering, does anybody notice our grief? Do we even pay it attention? Does God know it? And what do we do with it? And sadness is one of those things that occurs within us when we have truly lost something. Something was once near to us and now it's distant, and it could be for a variety of reasons, but real sadness begins when we realize we've lost something or someone. And so to begin, I just want to invite you to search yourself and see, is there something or someone that you value that is no longer with you or with you the way they were? And for a moment, just give yourself permission to be sad and to bring it into your presence with God. As we prepare to read from Psalm 23, invite God and ask Him to make a word or phrase stand out to you. Maybe something that triggers you or stirs up something that makes you just know that God hears you and is listening. Ask for that now as we prepare to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let's read it one more time and just receive these words from God over you again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Having listened to it a second time, take a few minutes to talk to God about what saddens you. What got stirred up as you hear the words of Psalm 23? Is there anger or fear kind of mixed into this cocktail of emotion? Whatever it is, bring it to God, knowing that you can boldly and confidently come to Him with all that you are because of His great love for you in the sacrifice of Jesus. Remembering the words of 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. To end our time, I want to send you off with the words of Henry Nouwen. He's a Dutch pastor and author and theologian known around the world for his work on presence and stillness with God. But here's what he says about the power of our wounds and what happens when we can bring them to God. He says, quote, "Perhaps the main task of the minister is to prevent people from suffering for the wrong reasons. Many people suffer because of the false supposition on which they have based their lives. That supposition is that there should be no fear or loneliness, no confusion or doubt. But these sufferings can only be dealt with creatively when they are understood as wounds integral to our human condition. A Christian community is therefore a healing community. Not because wounds are cured and pains are alleviated, but because wounds and pains become openings or occasions for a new vision. Mutual confession then becomes a mutual deepening of hope, and shared weakness becomes a reminder to one and all of the coming strength.